Well, no way, Scannell. It's hard to believe it's that time of week again already. That's right, you're listening to Gyno. Gyno is a Seneca word for music or song. I'm your host, Brett Mabee. I'm coming to you from the Allegheny Territory of the Seneca Nation. Each week, we take a listen to some amazing music from different indigenous artists from all across Turtle Island. So, without further ado, consider yourself invited to enjoy the music and the chat. Brock Stonefish, he's a Lenape Oneida Ojibwe artist from Southern Ontario, specifically the Moravian Delaware Nation. He's going to be joining me today on Gyno. He's been touring North America for the last 20 years. He's opened for the likes of B.B. King and shared the bill with Kiss and Skynyrd, Bare Naked Ladies, just to name a few. He regularly tours with Gary Farmer. In fact, Gary produced Brock's debut solo album called Turtle Island, and now is the title track. Turn it up and sing along. You're listening to Gyno.
I don't know my hometown, do you know? I don't know the land I stand can go. Well, I know, yes, I know, you don't know. Called me Indio. She, yes, she called me savage. If she ever called me darling, it would not be at her advantage. 'Cause I want a girl from Turtle Island. Long dark hair.
Offering from Brock Stonefish's Turtle Island. In fact, it's the title track kicking off our listening on today's edition of Gyno. If you're just joining us, welcome to the chat. I'm excited to welcome this incredibly talented artist, singer-songwriter, guitar luthier, you name it. There's not a whole lot that Brock Stonefish can do. So without further ado, we're just going to hop right into it. We have a lot to talk about today. Nyawe Skano, Brock. How are you doing today?
Ani, bonjour. Kwanganao. Segoli. I'm doing good today. I'm up in South Ontario, Canada. Pretty sunny last couple of days. Birds been chirping about. And, getting stuff ready for the the summer and getting all my bookings in and doing, getting stuff together like this, interviews and getting to meet some cool radio show hosts.
Hey. I certainly appreciate the kind words, and it's been fun getting caught up with you even as we were getting ready for the interview, right? I mean, I certainly love a person who takes a passion in whatever they put their hand to, and that's something that's going to become really apparent to listeners today. They have a lot to really dive into and check out, and I would even say kind of get lost in. Let's start back at the beginning, though. And if you would be so kind, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm living here on the Moravian Delaware Nation at Moravian Town, and we fought the Battle of the Thames. Right here on the reserve, we got about 3,800 acres. Living on the Thames River, and we're this is the oldest road in Canada, River Line, I live on. Anyhow, my great grandparents, Stonefish, I live on the Stonefish land here, and my father's grandmother was Oneida. Her name was Phoebe Nicholas, and his other grandmother was Annie Fisher from Chippewa. So they're just two reserves about 40 minutes down the river, down Thames River. And they're across the river from each other. And they, of course, they married, and Phoebe Nicholas from Oneida married my dad's grandfather, Archie Peters. And then Annie Fisher come down and married my grandfather, Walker Stonefish. Great grandfather. So, and then of course my mom's mom was from Moravian Town, and she was Delaware. And then my mom's father is from Sugar Island, Michigan, and that's over by Sault Ste. Marie. And it's an island there, and he grew up there. I think he was born in like 1912 or something like that. But anyway, because of that, we go by our clan system, as you know, we follow a Ojibwe clan system and the Delaware clan system, so Chippewa clan system. So I'm dual clan. So I'm Turtle and Bear clan. So
you have a lot of responsibilities that you have to see to. It sounds like.
Yeah, yeah.
In your upbringing, were you just surrounded by a lot of music?
Yeah. You know, sports. You know, I grew up, you know, I grew up, I wanted to be a motocross or in the NHL or both. And I was always riding around on my dirt bike and motocross, and my dad was always really strict baseball, so baseball was like a religion. So it wasn't even like it was a dream or anything, it was just something you did, like breathing, baseball, and it was just something you did, and we were always going to baseball tournaments and listening to music, of course, in the car, Eric Clapton, Muddy Waters, Jay Giles Band from so a lot of stuff like that, Steppenwolf, and a lot of the stuff my dad listened to, Elvis, and a lot of those baseball songs like Fogerty and CCR and that type of stuff, eh?
Oh, yeah. Center field, you can't go wrong there. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
At what point did you decide you wanted to be a musician?
Let's see, I was probably... Well, the NHL wasn't going to work out because my mom and I, we had moved up to Peterborough, and we left the reserve and moved into the city, and I left my chances of being a motocross star or a hockey star, but I was going in the direction of being in the NHL. I thought I was that good, and my brothers, they still talk about it, and we moved to the city, and I became suicidal because of it. And I didn't know how to live in a city where there was no Native people. And all the kids I went to school with, there was no Natives. And they were a lot of the rich kids that were from families that were had a lot of money in Toronto, you know. And it was about an hour north of Toronto where I was living. But fortunately, a lot of the kids also played music. So they played guitar, and I discovered guitar. A lot of the kids I became friends with, and we started a drum group up there. And some of the kids my age in the drum group, like my brother's friends' kids and that, and they got me into guitar, and I start playing guitar. And there was another guy my brother went to Trent University with in Peterborough. His name was Claude, so we kind of adopted him as our brother, and he didn't really know his parents and that, and so we kind of took him under our wing, and he gave me my first guitar. I traded him a Detroit Red Wings jacket, and for this guitar. And
sounds like a good trade.
Yeah. So that was my first guitar, and it kept me from, you know, of course, attempting suicide and all that. And I just had a new life to me, eh? And everybody was worried about me. I got real depressed. I was about 13 years old, 12, 13. And my parents split up, and all my friends that I knew all my life, you know, I had to leave them behind. And so I took on music, and I ended up going into the schools in that city. I was like grade 7, 8 or something like that. And I started learning how to play saxophone.
It really sounds like music saved your life. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And I've said that quite often myself as well. You know, it's not an exaggeration to say that music can save lives. And I hope that's one of the big takeaways from our conversation today. You've put together an excellent album. We're going to talk about working with Gary Farmer, Delbert Anderson, and, you know, we have so much more that we got to get into. Let's get back into the tunes, and we'll come back and talk about the EP. So without further ado, before our listening today is up, have some Beatrice Deer coming up, Pappy John's Band. We're also going to be hearing one from Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers in this block. But coming at you right now, turn it up and sing along with Brock Stonefish's Talking Tree from the Turtle Island EP today on Gyno.
Sleep, they've been talking to me, telling me about my baby. I don't know what it's telling me. Sitting under a talking tree, every night in my sleep, they've been talking to me, telling me she was buried. Before 1793, sitting under a talking tree. Stories about the currency, telling me he was buried. It might be buried right next to me, hiding behind another tree, hiding way down in a ravine. Patiently he was waiting for the meeting with the general. Called his friend. Mm-hmm.
spirits rising. Long as you keep my leaves green, sitting under talking tree. Tell me stories about the country, telling me he was buried. He might be buried right next to me.
You're listening to Gyno with Brent Mabee on Native Voices One. Thank you.
taking me downtown. Judge, taking everything I had. Strip me naked. Strip me. Everything I had. Yes, yes. Took my house. Took my Cadillac too. And money in the bank. Took that too. Strip me, strip me, strip me. Strip me naked. Everything I had. Judge, strip me, strip me. Everything I had. What was the clothes on my back? I said, one more time, one more time. She took my house. Cadillac too. Everything. My clothes on my back, on my back. I had money in the bank. Took that too, took it too.
Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers, Strip Me Naked, as we wind on that first block of listening today on Guy Note. If you're just now tuning in, I'm joined on the line with Brock Stonefish, an incredibly talented Lenape, Chippewa, Oneida guitar builder, a guitarist, singer-songwriter. In the first block, we got caught up on his musical background, and now we're going to switch gears and talk specifically about the Turtle Island EP. Now, Brock, you've been playing music a long time. This is your first full solo release, though, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, the first album I've been anticipating all my life. And it finally, we started recording, I think, in 2012 or something like that.
Hmm.
Gary Farmer called me up one time and says, I want to do an all-star album with, four or five songs of the different artists that he's had on tour over the years.
Hmm.
And at that time, he'd been touring for already maybe 9 or 10 years. And so he brought me up. He flew me from Buffalo over to Denver, Colorado, and I met up with him, and then we rode in a vehicle down to Santa Fe, and we recorded for 2 days. And we pulled out four tracks, and we did Talking Tree, Butterfly Song, Turtle Island, and Residential Redemption.
Yeah.
And that was 9 years ago. And then, so over the years, we had some guys in the album, bass player from Denver, Colorado. His name was Vince Vigil, and another drummer from Los Angeles. His name is Logan. And anyway, over the years, I had just a rough cut of everybody jamming in the background. And I never did release it because I didn't have no solos filled in or nothing like that.
Sure.
So Gary and I got back in touch, and we were touring for a while, and I got sick. My diabetes got bad, and I got bit by a brown recluse on tour.
Whoa.
With Gary in like 2013 or 12, and it really affected my body, and my body just started shutting down because they put me on a drug called vancomycin that they give to bone cancer patients. So they don't really know the long-term effects of people.
Wow.
That survive, that have been on this strong antibiotic. And so it's caused a lot of problems with my diabetes and my health. And my health has gotten a lot better recently.
Good.
In the last few years. So Gary and I got back together. We did a show last year after all these years. And, you know, of course, my mother died in 2012, and then my father and my aunt. You know, I lost two aunts and an uncle, and then my father and my grandmother and then my brother, you know. And I've lost a lot of really close family members. And so I kind of took a break from the music, and I just get back and do it again now.
Yeah.
And so Gary says, well, why don't we touch up the tracks we started, and we'll finish them and whatnot. And then we got Dalbert Anderson involved because for the track Residential Redemption was originally, I had like flute on it from an old recording on YouTube. And so we're trying to find a flute player, and we just couldn't really pull it together. And Gary says, well, I know this cat, he's a Dene guy down here in the Southwest, and his name is Albert Anderson. And so, you know, I started looking him up, and he, you know, he's a Grammy mentionable. He's been on, you know, they talk about him on Grammy.com, and he's playing in New York City. He's playing all the jazz clubs, and you know, if you're gonna play any jazz clubs in the world, it's gonna be in New York City.
Yeah, no doubt.
So that's where he is. And of course, I played in New York City as well when I was 18 years old back in the early 2000s. I played at a place called Jazz on the Park, and I played there twice a week in Harlem. And but that was many moons ago. But anyhow, back to the album, we got this Dalbert Anderson involved, and I'm listening to some of his stuff, and I'm really liking what he's playing, his sound. And he's got that old sound. It reminded me of being in New York City, you know, staying, you know, just when I would stay at my aunt's house in New York, too. Like, she used to be a model. And so she listened to a lot of jazz, and it just had that music playing. And it just, you know, anyway, it just captures that. If you listen to Residential Redemption, when I hear it, like, he nailed it, you know. Like, I didn't know what I wanted, and I wouldn't change a darn thing, you know. I wouldn't change a damn thing he did to it.
Mm.
And, you know, he layered that trumpet on there so nice. And you know, it just reminded me of traveling all my younger years and hearing those horns and, you know, traveling the trains and the subways. And you know, that horns, you know, in certain parts of the song, it almost sounds like like a train going by in a car, you know, in the middle of the night that wakes you up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a powerful song, and when I had Gary on the show a few months back, we did specifically talk about Residential Redemption, too, and he had mentioned, you know, having tried various instruments, flute, and, of course, harmonica, and it just didn't fit, but I got to agree 100%. Delbert's stylings and the way he delivers his notes on the horn really does make a powerful, I guess, kind of icing on the production cake, if you will, you know.
Yeah.
I can see your star continuing to rise. I mean, you are so active with a myriad of things. And I really like the way that you give back to the community. But let's hang on to that thought for a second, and we'll talk about the Indigenous Youth Guitar Giveaway Series when we come back. We have a little bit more listening at this time, though, including, I figure, we got to add one from Delbert's latest release, Kindred Spirits, a Navajo South African Story, released just a couple weeks ago, as a matter of fact. And in addition, we got Pappy John's band with Be There When I Need You, and kicking things off right now is Brock Stonefish with Residential Redemption today on Gyno.
I just want to go back to place I was born. Instead I lay here all alone with this itchy blanket, and she said I'd make it if I sang her song. I wonder I'd have till the end. I guess I'll see them again. She said, go to sleep. Tomorrow you can weep. And then she sang a song. It took me from my mother, I never kissed her. Why couldn't it be any other? Oh, holy mister, still I'm all alone. I can't find a home, but I could sing a song. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ailani, and you're listening to Native Voice One.
Wazi, upule ya kintiziyo Kululu kobo lwako, dete isekri sengoma Sitate sigla ule, ogu isbopo nga paga Singoma ikulule, ibangu mlilo vuta Ibanga manzi hamba, ibangu moya tula Iba ingoma kula, dete limizwa yako Naleli sikri sako, naleli mpendulo zako Yegelu kobo lwako Osiegelele, osiegelele, osiegelele I'll lose yourself, osiegelele Losing my mind.
Be
Happy John's Band and Be There When I Need You from Having a Good Time Now, Volume 3, to be exact, today on Gyno. Welcome back to the chat. I'm absolutely loving the conversation that I'm having with my featured guest today, Brock Stonefish. We're discussing his latest release, Turtle Island. It's doing great things currently on the Indigenous Music Countdown, also the Indigiverse as well. And of course, I can't thank you enough for spending a little bit of time with me today. And you know, just real quick, I typically reserve this portion of the conversation for future plans, but I guess it kind of ties in, but I specifically want to talk a little bit more about the way you give back to the youth. And as we've been talking about this entire show, you are an incredibly talented guitar luthier. You're certified. You already have some pretty high profile names that are looking for custom pieces. But I love what you do with this giveaway series. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about it.
Yes, it's called the Indigenous Youth Guitar Giveaway Series. And it's IYGGS, and you can find it on brockstonefish.com. What I've been doing is I've been just trying to provide instruments for kids who have a hard time, and they're from families or might be in a situation that they have no control over where they can't have access to an instrument. Or maybe they live up north and they have no internet because, CSIS and the Canadian government shuts down the internet on Native communities so that we don't have resources.
Right.
How they killed off the buffalo, all that kind of stuff.
But
we got kids up there trying to apply, and they can't even send me a video, a YouTube video, because it costs them so much money. And I have, some grandparents, and I don't know, I've lost touch with some people from Nunavut, Northwest Territories, who inquired about a guitar so that their grandkid could have one. And the whole reason behind the Indigenous Youth Guitar Giveaway Series is to address the suicide rates in the Indigenous communities. And our youth are the leading victims of suicide in North America. And I shared my story earlier in the discussions about how I was a suicidal as a youth, based on, just trying to survive in a colonized world when I grew up in the reserve. And it was so devastating to me to try and survive in a non-Native community that the only thing that brought me back to life was a guitar. And so I just want to try and return that favor and I've been giving away guitars in communities. Sometimes I'm able to give away a couple guitars a month, but so not all of them make it on the internet. I don't, some of the kids don't always want their picture taken with the guitars, and that's fine. So that's what I've been doing for the last year and a half, 2 years now. If anybody wants to support, you could, reach out, email me at brockstonefish@gmail.com, or if you have any kids or any relatives or anybody in the community that you think might need an instrument, or they're outstanding, or even if there's a talented musician and they can't afford the $1,000 or $2,000 guitar, and they're just getting by with a $400 or $500 guitar, and it's buzzing out, and the strings aren't hitting all the notes, and they're just making it work. But I'm here. I can make those guitars. And if you send in those guitars, those donations to that email, I could take some of these guitars and I can refurbish them into a professional grade guitar.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm aiming to do. And, yeah.
I absolutely love the way that you're giving back, and it's clear that this is born out of personal experience, and I hope more people catch on to that, you know, and follow suit. You know, sometimes I get a little bit jaded with the music industry, and when indigenous people become rank and file, I think, within the music industry, but hearing stories like this really continues to give me a lot of hope that we can be, I guess, the engineers of some really positive change within that as well. I can't thank you enough for taking some time to talk with me today. I certainly hope, you know, you have another release coming out here in the near future and that you'll join me on Gyno soon.
Oh, yeah. Yep, for sure. I'm going to keep the releases coming for you. Right on. Thank you. Anishik, we glitch.
We are Chibi Chibi No, we are gay Wagga Chibi Chibi No, ay, 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 oh. We are gay Mako Chi Wagga Chibi Chibi No, we are gay Mako Chi Wagga Chibi Chibi No, shake shake jungle Chibi No, ay, 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 oh. We are
Gyno is recorded and produced on the Allegheny Territory of the Seneca Nation, with support from the Anosognwenda Cultural Center and Creatives Rebuild New York. For this and past episodes of Gyno, log on to gynomusic.fm or nv1.org. To discover more music from incredible indigenous artists, be sure to check out the Native Artist Directory at nativeartistdirectory.com.
Tippy and PJ Vegas.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.